Your Bibles, we'll go ahead and responsibly read the scripture. It'll be in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 8 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, if my memory serves me correctly, that's where we'll be. I'll open it up and tell you that's right. It will be 1 Samuel chapter number 8. If I was to title the message this morning, it would simply be, does any of this sound familiar? Does any of this sound familiar? It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I trust that you're glad that you're saved.
Amen.
I'm glad that you're saved. Is it dark in here? Is it dark in that corner? What, are we missing some lights or what is it? You just got a few lights out. It's probably, it just seems dark in here to me. But anyway, it's good to be here today. I trust that the light of the glorious gospel is shining in your heart and life today. And like I said, remember the upcoming events and stuff. And I get signed up for these things. You'll be the one that misses out if you don't get involved. Because I've never been to a men's conference that I've never been blessed. I don't think I've ever attended a youth event that I didn't get a blessing. So get signed up and get involved. Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley, we're praying for you, Brother Kenny. We love him, love Miss Shirley. Let's continue praying for Miss May, all the others. My brother Robbie had a little outpatient procedure done this week, and he's home recovering. Robin's daddy was in and out of the hospital, and thankful he got to come home. Many, many things to pray about. Don't forget your own prayer requests, sick and shut in. Everybody's connected to the church. Preaching this morning out of the book of 1 Samuel, we're moving from a period of judges and a period of the prophets making the decisions, and we're moving over to the period of the kings, and the transition is about to take place in 1 Samuel chapter number 8. And whenever I say, does any of this sound familiar, you listen as we read the scriptures today, and I think you'll find out that a whole lot of it sounds familiar. So anyway, we'll go ahead and read this morning. It's 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verse number 1 said, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba." Now, if you know anything about Samuel and how that he was honorable in the sight of God, you remember the barrenness of Hannah, and you'll remember the womb shut up, and Peninnah got the worthy portion, and Hannah got the blessing of God. But she was barren in soul, and it just so happens that she finally conceives a child. You see, God knew what he was doing all along. But even as Samuel was born, Hannah said, "If you ever give me a man child, I'll give him back to you." And we know that she did, and she took him to the house, and he grew up under the priest by the name of Eli. And you'll find out, whenever the Lord started speaking to Samuel, it was always in a two-word response, and it was always Samuel jumping up and running into the chief priest to say, "Did you call me?" That was always Samuel. Samuel. And then he'd jump up and run there and say, "Hey, did you call me?" He said, "I didn't call you. Go lay down." And then again, Samuel would hear the word, "Samuel, Samuel." He'd jump up and run there, "Did you call me?" Finally, the priest, Eli, finally said, "Hey, this may be the Lord talking to you." Anyway, you would think that growing up in the house of a preacher, growing up in the house of a prophet, growing up in the house of a pastor, growing up in the house of a missionary, growing up in the house of a man and a woman that loved Jesus Christ and have fell in love with him every day. It's a newly formed bond between you and God. You wake up afresh every day, and every day you're blessed, and every day you understand. But you would think that if anybody's sons would rule righteously, you think if anybody's sons would judge righteously, you think if anybody's sons would do honorably in the sight of God, that if it was anybody's, you think that it would be Samuel's. Read on. Verse number 3 said, "His sons walked not in the ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, 'Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" Brother Tam, ask God to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to go ahead and preach you a little message about, does any of this sound familiar? Amen. How did we get to where we're at as a nation? Honestly, where did we get to and how did we get where we are as a nation? Are you sure you're going to get up here and preach Democrats and preach Republicans? Let's preach it this way. Let's preach right and wrong. That'd be all right, would it not? Let's preach right and left. Let's preach righteousness and ungodliness. Let's preach a platform that likes to kill babies and then wants to sustain life. Let's preach one that wants religious liberties and religious freedoms and then preach one that wants to erase anything concerning God from the public workplace, from the public courthouse, from the public square. Let's preach one that believes that marriage is honorable in all things and the bed undefiled being between one man and one woman. And then let's preach one that thinks it's okay for queers and lesbians and homosexuals to kiss on TV and the public scene and anywhere else and think that that's right and just. That's not. Let's preach what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 10 and verse number 2, there's a reason that there is a right wing and a left wing. There's a reason that it's called that. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 in verse number 2, it simply says these words, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. If you think that it's okay to run around the world apologizing for killing a terrorist, then you line up to one way or the other. And I'm not labeling anybody. I'm telling you, does any of this sound familiar? It's because we have raised a generation the same as Eli ministered under Samuel. Samuel took that upbringing and went and judged righteous judgment. He was a prophet of the land. And there's no doubt in my mind that those sons of Eli or the sons, when you take the sons of Eli, they did wicked as well. You had Phinehas and Hophni, and they did wickedly as well. But then you take the sons of Samuel, and now here they are. They've been set up as judges. And what did it say they were doing? They're taking bribes. I didn't put that in the Bible. The Bible put that in the Bible. It said that they chased after filthy money, and they were taking bribes, and they were perverting their judgment. In other words, you slip me a little money, and I'll judge the way you want to. Every politician out there can be bought with a price, and we'd do well for them once in a while to come out wearing their spandex uniform and have all the patches of those that bought them and sponsored them saying, I'm for Planned Parenthood because they just put $20 million in my bank account. Let me tell you, there's a right, there's a wrong, there's a just and an unjust, a righteous and an unrighteous, a holy and an unholy, and bless God, we're right in the middle of it. How did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here through this message today. We're one generation removed from utter and total depravity. You said, "Did you just endorsed half the..." I didn't call anybody. I didn't call a political party. But if you'll do your research, you'll find out that there is right and there is wrong. And some only stand for wrong. Some do not stand up for what is just. Some don't stand up for what is right. Some of you says, nobody in here should have a Bible or a gun. Others says, if you don't want one, don't buy one. Leave it alone. Some of them said you shouldn't have the choice to kill a baby. And others said you should have the choice to kill a baby. Somebody's wrong. Somebody is wicked. Somebody is ungodly. Somebody is defiled. And we're only one generation away from that, as we see here. You say, well, why were they wanting a king? That answer comes in chapter number 8, verses number 19 and verses number 20 tells you exactly why they want a king. Look what it says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles, and that we want to be like the other nations. If you leave another nation and come to this nation, why did you flee that nation if you want this nation to be like that nation? Stay there and change your own nation rather than coming here and trying to take away the religious liberties and the freedoms and the rights that we enjoy as a nation. We're one generation away. We get quiet sometime, but this is where we're at. Does any of this sound familiar? All right, let's get into the scriptures today. The problem is we live in a rebellious nation, okay? Rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. Is that not biblical? It is bound up in the heart of a child. Ravenhill, Brother Chris, told a story about a daddy that got in the front seat of his car and told his kid, said, "You better sit down and buckle up." And the kid just remained standing. Daddy said, "Son, I said to sit down and buckle up." He heard the voice starting to rise up a little bit in daddy's chest. Daddy's starting to get serious here. And the boy kept standing. He finally slammed on the brakes, and as the little boy bounces off the dashboard, he said, "I better sit down and shut up and buckle up." So daddy said, "Thank you for sitting down, and thank you for buckling up, and thank you for shutting up." And the little boy said, "I'm still standing up on the inside." See, you see, that's the problem. We might abide and we might go ahead and do, we might go ahead and comply, we might go ahead, but if it's bound up inside of you, it's one generation from coming out. And that's the problem. They said, "We want to be like the other nations. Make us a king that we may be like," in verse number 20, "that we also may be like all the nations." That's what we want. In other words, Lord, we're not satisfied with what your plan was. Your plan was to set up judges over the land, but we're not satisfied with that. You said, well, they had a rightful reason to question judgeships whenever Joel, the sons of Samuel, started doing wickedly. They absolutely had a right to question that, but they had no right to question God. They went to Samuel, which is what they should have done. They should have listened to Samuel. And I'm going to bring just a little message today with as Lord as my help. Chris didn't take anything away from the time. Don't sit there looking at your watch thinking, well, Chris took time away from the preacher. No, if God told him to do that, he needed to do that. If we were supposed to sing the other song, we were supposed to sing the other song. If we weren't supposed to sing any song, then we shouldn't have sang any song. But I want you to hear this message today. Does any of this sound familiar? We've been in a spiritual decline in this nation, morally, religiously, in so many ways for so many years. You come out of the years of the free love 60s and you come rolling all that stuff forward. There's been such a degradation of the home that, like I said from the choir a while ago, men are not men, women are not women. You've got men competing in women's sports. Is that not something? Do you realize that just a couple short years ago, there was a man by the name of Bruce Jenner that got Glamour Magazine's Woman of the Year? You think I'm telling you a lie? Google that. That's a true story. You said that was Caitlin. It was Bruce Jenner when he's a washed up has-been that can't win, can't compete, can't do anything, and he's broke, he's wanting attention, so what's he do? He comes out in a sinful, ungodly way, and what does the whole world do? Embraces it, takes him in, and sets him on a pedestal and a platform of some type of an idol to look at. I'm telling you, that's ungodly. It's wrong. I don't care who you are. Y'all can get up and walk out on me if you want to. I don't really care at this point in time. If you're left or you're right, that really don't make, I could care less. You know which side you line up on. If you're for killing babies, you know which side you're on. If you're trying to take my rights and my religious liberty and my freedom away from you, you know which side you're on. If you don't want me to go down to the courthouse or go down like we did at Maplewood at the Planned Parenthood and grab a bullhorn and stand on a street corner and tell people that killing babies is wrong, you know which side you're on. Right. Basically, you just need to get in the altar, what that'd be all about. Let's just go ahead and get it. I've got this one alliterated a little bit. Look in verses number 1-4. And I want you to see the spiritual recession. You said that we're in a recession, preacher? I thought we'd been doing good. My interest rate in my 401k is up 20% in the last year. Woohoo, I'm glad. My bank account's never done better, preacher. I don't see us in a recession. Gas used to be $3.85, now it's $2.05. That ain't a recession, preacher. I'm not talking about your economic values. I'm talking about your spiritual. We are in a spiritual recession. You said, what is a recession? That's a time of going down. It's a time. You said, oh, I thought the church was going up. The church is going up. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. We ought to be shining out in this untoward generation. But we are in a spiritual recession. Look what it says in verses 1-4. It came to pass when Samuel was old that his son, he made the sons judge over Israel. And now the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second was Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in the ways, but turned aside after money? Have you ever seen anybody turn aside after money? You show them a little money, they'll vote the way that you want to. You show them money, they'll do what you want. I remember a few years ago, bless God, there was two things that comes to my mind. One of them, they needed some money to put a full page ad in the journal Patriot standing against the alcohol ABC store right over there beside a Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. Who was one of the first ones to stand up and say, count our money in? Miss Melva, good to see you and Brother Tommy. I know you don't get to come a lot, but I'm glad I know which side you stand. Will you stand with Jesus? You stand with right. But it was us at Calvary that put our money out there and said, this is what we're for. We're for not having that thing right beside of a holy place of worship. And that's what we stand for. But then there were others that sat back silent. That was a push in the county to get In God We Trust put on the front of the courthouse. Miss Vicky and you girls that go in and out of the courthouse every day to work, when you look up there, guess where that money come from? It was Calvary Baptist Church that said, here, take our $1,000. Put some signs on the front of that. Because it is In God We Trust. There has been a push in the late day to revive America, to its prosperity when it comes to a spiritual matter. But overall, we're still in a decline. We're still in a recession. You said, how do you see that? It starts in a certain geographical area. It'll be New England or West. And then as it starts there, it spills over onto the rest of us. Do you realize just north of our border in the state of Virginia, there is a civil war brewing in the inside of that state? It's not broken over to bloodshed just yet that I know about, but it's just a kindling box waiting for somebody to flip the match. California has now got books and bills before their Congress and before their own state legislator to cut me and you as a preacher or a Christian from the hate speech that's found inside of this book. They don't want to hear it. Brother Derek, they don't want us to speak about the things that are abominable in the sight of God. They don't want to hear it. They're going to change legislation, Brother Brian. Well, we can't preach about that. So goes the state, so goes the nation. So goes the nation, so goes the home. So goes the home, so goes... It's all things fitly framed together. You better look. Does any of this sound familiar? Verses 1 through 4, there's a spiritual recession going on in the land. You know what it boils down to, Brother Derek? Go to chapter 106 of the book of Psalms just for a moment. 106th division of Psalm, and I'll pull one verse, not pulling it out of context. This is Moses bringing the children of bondage out of Israel, Verse number 106, chapter number 106 of the book of Psalms, verse number 15, it was applicable then and it's applicable now. It said that, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I told you there's a spiritual recession in the land, and there truly is. Which brings us to the next thing, which is a sinful request of the people. When the people rise up and say, hey, I want to marry Chris. Chris wants to marry me. But I got a bunch of you do-good and Bible thumpers that stand between me and Chris getting married. He ought to be able to have the same benefits, the same blessing that a Mark and a Cindy would have. We're going to petition the courts. You don't think an election matters? If you stack the courts with liberalism, that's what you'll get, liberal decisions. If you stack the court with unrighteous, you'll get unrighteous decisions. But thanks be unto God for a conservative nature judge that would say, that's not right, and I'm going to vote for humanity. That's a human right. Two men cannot have a baby. That's humanistic. Remove the religiosity out of it. Two men should not be able to marry and have children because it's not natural. That's a human event. It goes beyond religious things. Amen. But they do it anyway. Petition the court to allow it to happen. And because you've got religious justices and you've got conservative justices and then you've got liberal justices and unrighteous justices on the Supreme Court of the land, this thing is so big. Does any of this sound familiar? You say, why are you bringing Supreme Court justices into this? What was Joel? What was he? And what was his brother? What was daddy? He was a judge. Samuel judged righteous judgment. His sons did not. And now we're getting ready. We're one generation diving head first. It moves beyond the spiritual recession into a sinful request of the people. Start at verse number 5 and look at their sinful request. Starting in verse number 5, it starts out, their sinful request starts out namely this. They said unto him, behold, you're getting old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, this right here in and of itself, they've recognized that these sons are not doing right. It's okay. It's just. It's holy. It's right there. They recognize unrighteous judgeships. They recognize what's going on in the land. They said, hey, Sam, you got to fix this. But look what happens. They said, we don't want God's way anymore. We want a king like everybody else. Look what it says. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We move from this sinful request. I'm just going to move right on down to the next one. And I want you to see this sovereign response by an almighty man that loved God, that believed in the God of Jehovah. And I want you to see this sovereign response. But the Bible said this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king. It wasn't enough to say, hey, your sons are not doing right. That would have been one thing. But whenever they crossed the line and said, give us a king that we might be like all the other nations, the Bible said that it got Samuel's attention and he prayed unto the Lord. Latter part of verse number 6. Verse number 7 said, and he said unto Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people. This is the Lord talking. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. They don't dislike me. They don't dislike you. They do not dislike you as a conservative voter. They do not like you as a righteous and holy person. They don't just dislike us, Brother Derek. They dislike the one that saved us and created us. Samuel, God, here's what God said. Samuel, it's not that they're rejecting thee. I didn't make that up. It's in here. Look what it says. It said, Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. In other words, God, you don't know best. Give us a king. We're not going to be under this anymore. And we want a king that we might be like the other nations. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me. They've served other gods. And say that, and do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them. Show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. That's a solemn and a sovereign request. I want you to hear the response now. I want you to hear Samuel's reply. Here it comes. Samuel, I want you to tell them what's going to... Look what it says in the latter part of verse number 9. Tell them what's going to happen. Show them what manner of man, show them what manner the king is going to reign over them. So show them what happens when you move out from trusting God. Y'all trust God? Does God not know best? Then if you move out from under the authority and the kinship of God and the reign of God, and you said, give us a king, you're saying, we don't trust God. We'll just heap it upon these men, and right, we'll trust these men.
Right.
Any of this sound familiar? God just told Samuel, tell them what kind of a land they're going to have. Tell them what kind of a king they're going to have. Tell them what kind of problems they're going to involve. Any of you men in here drafted? Any of you men in here ever drafted? You had to go. You didn't. I see hands going up. You got drafted. You were forced to go. You didn't have a choice. You're going to go. Your draft number's up. Keep that in mind. I'm not against military. I'm not against drafting if that's what needs to be to protect the homeland. But listen what happens. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of a king. Here's Samuel's reply. This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you in verse number 11. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. Wait a minute. Grant said he was drafted. You didn't go, did you? What happened? The government took you. We didn't have a king. We had a democracy or a republic, if you will. But the government said, you're going. Does any of this sound familiar? This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. For his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run from his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to hear the ear to the ground, to reap the harvest, and to make his instructions of war, instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards. Does any of that sound familiar? Tax you when you make your money. Tax you when you spend your money. Tax you on what you own. And when you die, what are you going to do? We're going to tax that too. You said, is there such thing as a death tax? Go ahead and die and see what happens. I'm telling you. The government has the ability. And let me tell you, the government is a hungry buzzard. It cannot get full. It will satiate on the leftovers, if need be, of a nation that is in decay and that's dying. Republics that once stood, democracies that once held strong, that thrived, are now given over to socialism and given over to that stuff that they had to have for free. And the next thing you know, the nation is in ruins and the government just can't get enough. Man, we're quiet today. Woo, preach! I'm going to. If it helps the devil and every demon in hell, we're going to preach. This is a pivotal year. Do you want a queer in the White House? He's one on the ballot. If y'all want to vote for him, there's one on the ballot. You want a socialist in the White House? Go ahead, there's one running. You want that? Go ahead and vote that way. You like kill babies? Go ahead. There's a bunch of them that like that, and they support that. Even to the very second that the baby would come out of the confines of the mother's womb, Chris, now take it right then. And the governor of Virginia, just north of us, was asked the question, what do you do if it's born alive? He said, put it over there and leave it alone. It won't be alive for long. Abandon it. That's infanticide. That, my friends, is murder. It's sinful. What did they do in the biblical time? Every time that something was about great to happen on the prophetical timeline of God, what did they do, Brother John? They killed the babies. Did they not do that? Did they not do it when Moses was about to be slaughtered? Did they not do it whenever Herod didn't like what was going on? Said, kill those babies. When Joseph and Mary took young Jesus and fled down into Egypt, that the prophecy might be fulfilled out of Egypt, have I called my son? Right before the Lord comes back, right before the Lord's return, right before something prophetic, Brother Tim, you know what they do? Just kill the babies. Well, we're killing them by the millions. I know I'm not going to win any medals today, but this is what God's put on my heart. There's my message. Four bullets. You said, what's all that other stuff? Rebellion. This stuff here didn't even get preached. Samuel's reply is this. They're going to take your daughters. They're going to take your sons. They're going to take your fields. They're going to take your vineyards. They're going to take your money. Verse number 15 said they're going to take a tenth of your seed. Have we not surpassed 10%? I think I'm in a 28% tax bracket. Yeah. Me and Paul and myself have stressed over that for the last little bit. We can't give them enough, can we, Paul? We gave them $4,800 last year, and that wasn't enough. So now Paul's going to send them another $6,000 of what y'all are giving me for a total of $10,800 out of what y'all are giving me. He's going to send that to Uncle Sam because Uncle Sam can't get enough. He will take your tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, give to his officers, give to his servants. He will take your manservants, your maidservants, your goodliest young men, your asses, and he'll put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and he shall be his servant, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in the day because your king, which he had chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Do you hear what I'm saying about Samuel's reply? Samuel's reply said, God said, tell him what's going to happen, Samuel. And that's what Samuel did. He just laid it out there. And I want you to see their stubborn. Did I say stubborn? Rebellious heart. I want you to see their stubborn rebellion. It starts right where Samuel, listen to me. They said, give us a king. Samuel goes to God and says, God, they want a king. God said, okay, if I'm to give them a king, you tell them what they're about ready to get when I give them one. Samuel goes down verses number 10 through 18, tells them exactly what's going to happen whenever they get that man. What'd they say? We better wake up. If that God in heaven, that Jehovah God, has spoken to that man, the prophet, that judge, and that prophet by the name of Samuel, and that word is true, and he has told us what's about to happen, brother, right there, Tim, I'm like, we better wake up. We might want to reconsider this kingship thing. If he going to take a tenth of everything we own, including our kids, our men serving, our maid service, our sheep, our oxen, our land, he going to take our seed, he going to take everything and use it for himself. Brother Danny, right there is where I'm thinking, we better start waking up here. God's provided for us for all these years. We've been all right for all this time. Why don't we just trust God? Why don't we just trust the man of God that what he's telling us is the truth? He finishes his discourse. Does any of this sound familiar? Amen. Darwin, you all right? You ain't feeling the burn back here, are you? All right. Right after all that's over with, verse number 19, here's what it says. That word nevertheless. What does that mean? That means there's something getting ready to happen right here. Lord, we fished all the night long. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, we're going to listen to your word. Well, here's a different nevertheless. I'll get 18. You shall cry that day because your king, which you have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay. No! We won't hear of it. We're not going to go that way, Samuel. I don't care how bleak you paint the picture. We're going to do it our way because we know best and our way's best. You better reconsider that. Our ways are not God's ways. Nay, we will have a king over us that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and that he can go out before us and fight our battles. Listen to these two verses. Samuel heard all the words of the people. And look what that word is, rehearsed. What does that mean? He rehearsed them in his ears. He rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice. Make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go every man to his own city. You said, are you stopping there? Yes, I am. Macy, come down. Brother Scott, you can come up. We're not done yet. I just want her to come down, be ready. Are we going to trust God or are we not? Are we going to follow him or are we not? In your heart, answer this question. Do you vote? If not, why do you not? Do you search out the candidates? I'm not endorsing anybody today. You say, you already have the whole message. It's been a grand endorsement for the conservatism, for righteousness, for justness, for holiness. So be it. I didn't tell you which party was which, did I? Search the candidates. Search out what these people stand for. Search out who is just and moral and upright at heart and who is not. Parents, would you let that junk go on under your own roof? Then why do we let it go on as a nation? You said, is it bigger than just a house? It's bigger than a county. Although the county does some crazy stuff too. It's bigger than a state. It's bigger than a nation. This is a worldwide thing. If it's not, we wouldn't still have them coming over in barrels from socialist Cuba. If it's not a worldwide thing, we would still trying to be building border walls and trying to control access to the states. You said that we shouldn't have walls. Heaven's got a wall. Amen. Nehemiah rebuilt a wall. Amen. Yeah, they did. Right. You said, wait a minute. How about hell? It's got walls. It's got a gate, does it not? Because it's the devil. What? Didn't Jesus ascend to the heart of the earth, come back and say, I got the keys to death, hell? He got keys to that place. It's closed access. Heaven's a confined space. It's got borders. Can't go there except you go by the way of the cross. But you let this message permeate the community, and next thing you know, I'm a heretic. Pushing a certain agenda. I'm pushing Jesus. I'm promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying my best to help us today. Does any of this sound familiar? I'll give it to you real quick again. There's a spiritual recession, both in Samuel's day and in ours. The people offered up a sinful request, saying, give us a king that we might be like everybody else. There was a sovereign and a just, whole response given by God to Samuel. And Samuel delivered that reply, but it did not matter because the people's stubborn rebellion. They said, we ain't listening to that. As we stand all over the house today...